Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's 3:30, and we'll get started with our opening news conference for Urbana 12. My name is Gordon Govier. I handle media relations for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship USA and also for Urbana. And this afternoon, we have with us Alec Hill, the president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship USA, Tom Lynn, vice president for missions and Urbana director, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship USA, and Jerry Rodman, the president of InterVarsity Canada. And we're expecting Mark Debonnet, the president of the GBUC on Canada, to join us also. And the people who have a statement to read or speak will speak from the podium here, and then after that, everyone will be seated and we'll respond to questions. So, Alec?
Well, welcome to Urbana 2012. I see some familiar faces from 2009. It's good to have you back. And some of you, this is your first time. We're glad you're here. I think you're in for a real treat. Our vision for Urbana 2012 is to catalyze students towards God's global mission. And together, over the next 5 years, students will process challenging plenary speakers, an amazing diversity of seminars and workshops, and the incredible experience of worshiping God in the midst of 16,000 others in really what is a Revelation 7 multi-ethnic context. I think Tom will give some of the statistics in terms of the composition, at least, and I won't do that, but it's really a wonderful group that we have this year. Urbana is held every 3 years, probably as many of you know, in order to reach every student generation. This is our 23rd triennial conference. And over the past seven decades, 250,000 students, that's a quarter of a million, have participated in Urbana. It's remarkable. As I travel, I meet people who went to Urbana 84, or Urbana 67, or Urbana 2003. And the constant litany is, my life was changed, the direction of my life was altered. I was in Cambodia a couple of years ago. I was way up in the north in the Khmer Rouge, former Khmer Rouge territory. And I was talking with this guy who, American, was there working in a hospital. And he said, I went to Urbana 87. I was a Rutgers student. My girlfriend went with me. We felt the call of God. We both went to medical school. We got married. And then they had to wait another 10 years, and they finally got to Cambodia. They had three kids. Spends half of his time teaching and working in the medical hospital, and half of his time leading a student movement at the university there. You may notice that, I hope you notice, that InterVarsity doesn't take a whole high profile during Urbana, and we really don't host Urbana for our own benefit. Rather, it's a unique privilege to serve the church, and that's what we do. It's our hope that the students who join us this week will, both in live and online context, will return to their campuses and their home congregations to continue the work that God has begun here. And just a brief word about InterVarsity USA. Jerry will talk about Canada. We've been active on U.S. campuses for about 72 years now, and in Canada it's even longer. We're often reminded in these contexts that the Canadian movement is older and actually sent staff down to plant the movement in the U.S., and we're thankful for that. In the U.S., we have about 900 chapters on various college campuses, ranging from the Ivy League to community colleges. And we're currently experiencing a great, I think, a real blessing of God in our campus ministry. 110 new chapters have been planned in the last 5 years, and we're hoping to plan another 140 in the next 5 years. Urbana sort of reflects our demographic in terms of people of color at about 45% and whites at about 55%. That's true of our chapters when international students are counted in. The number of new believers on our campuses has more than doubled in the last 7 years. So this is a very good season for us. And we're all in awe for what God is doing on campus and anticipating what he will do here this week. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's good to be here. This afternoon, I just left to tell you a few things about what's happening in Canada. An alarming study recently released in Canada about young adults in church tells us a conference like Urbana is more important than ever. The study is called Hemorrhaging Faith, which surveyed about 2,400 young adults, and they had one thing in common. They all had some connection with the church as children, but but sadly, many no longer are claiming their faith. We were had the opportunity as InterVarsity as one of the commissioning agencies for this study. For us, this is troubling news from the study. Only 1 in 3 young adults who attended church as a child still do so today. Of those no longer in church, 50% no longer identify as Christians. But we believe there's also hopeful news in this. Young adults who have gone on a short-term mission or attended a Christian summer camp were most likely still committed to their faith. More than half of the young adults who were no longer engaged with faith said they were open to studying the Bible with a friend if they would invite them. At Urbana, students will study scripture and go home and invite their friends to join them. At Urbana, students will be inspired to go on short-term mission, commit their whole lives to this mission. Thousands will say yes to this. That's why we've been working hard in Canada to invite students to Urbana. We're delighted to have our highest numbers of Canadians ever at Urbana, 2,170 at the last count. There are 197 Canadian staff and volunteers serving the conference this week, another milestone in our history. And we're praying they will go back to Canada eager to engage and to re-engage their friends with the good news of Jesus. We want to reverse the trends of this hemorrhaging faith study. InterVarsity reaches about 20,000 children, teens, and young adults annually. In our campus ministry, we serve 3,500 core students with another 7,000 in some aspect of our work in high school, colleges, and universities. We also operate 9 residential camps across Canada and close to 10,000 campers attending in our summer program. Last year, we were delighted to welcome 1,100 young people into faith and see their faith grow for the first time they contacted Jesus Christ. Ever since the first Urbana was held in Toronto in 1946, hundreds of thousands of students have committed themselves to serving God and the world. We are praying and expecting God to work just as powerfully in Urbana 12. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I won't share too much and repeat what Alec and Jerry shared, but I will say it's just very exciting to have the privilege of hosting the Urbana Student Missions Conference. Since 1946, called Generations of Students to God's Global Mission, Billy Graham often says this one quote about Urbana, that over 50% of missionaries in the world can trace their calling in some shape or form back to an Urbana Student Missions Conference. So it's really a privilege to be part of history in so many ways. I'll just share on one area of focus, which is who's going to be here this week, so you have an idea of who's going to be here. And then there may be a bunch of questions that you have, which we'll address afterwards. We are expecting over 16,000 registered participants this week. And I think the demographic in particular is very exciting to me. Over 44% of them are ethnic minorities. A few thousand of them are actually not students. They're either missionaries right now serving somewhere in the world, older professionals, business professionals, medical professionals, other professionals. Many people we see now who are looking at a second or third or fourth career in exploring missions. So I think that's very exciting. And then, of course, we have our core, which is by far the majority, will be college students and graduate students. Actually, over 1,000 are graduate students. So I think the demographic is very exciting. And as Jerry mentioned, over 2,000 Canadians. And also, if you look at total participant pool, from over 100 countries are also represented here at Urbana. So I think the demographic, again, just that's very encouraging to know we have such a diverse audience coming in from various different contexts. So thank you.
Any questions? Fire away.
Well, I think it's hard to answer. There's a lot that's exciting at every Urbana. I think some of the unique things, perhaps, at this Urbana, there's a lot of emphasis, I think, on the experiential and interactive learning for students. So as you may know, with this student generation, I think they learn differently than previous generations. The content is actually very much the same, but the way they learn may be different. So we have more interactive learning here. One example of that is Launch Lab. It's called Launch Lab, which is a new interactive program where students can come to this lab-like room with their missional ideas, their change the world ideas, and there will be coaches there who will help them develop their idea into a concept and even into a business plan or ministry plan. So that's an example of one way that they'll learn. Another is actually our investment in social media. So a lot of students will actually learn through their interactions over social media. There's over 50 Twitter hashtags, I think, related to Urbana. We have one of our tracks has an app on their mobile phones that they'll be using throughout the conference. There'll be live blogging. There'll be streaming online. So there's just those kinds of things are new as well. And I think we're excited about that. One evening session at this Urbana will be an interactive event, actually. So it's a special event that will occur on the night of the 29th, where it'll be an interactive event where all of the participants will together assemble these AIDS caregiver kits together on site while they're learning through video, through interacting with a special pamphlet they have, and then using their hands to assemble these kits. So I think a lot of details related to that. Gordon has had a press release, I think. Did you communicate that out?
It'll be coming out later.
Okay, so you'll see a press release about the details of that event. So that's just another example. It's a live interactive event, actually, will be one of our evening sessions. Every Urbana has a huge slot of seminars. So, you know, over 120, 150 seminars for a variety of topics. Those are world-class speakers who come in who I think in a lot of other venues might teach thousands in a stadium, but they're coming in, they'll teach seminars to 1,000 students, to 500 students. That'll be packed out. We'll have a lot of community gatherings where students will gather in special interest groups. Like, for example, students who are ready to go to Africa, let's say, or ready to go to Southeast Asia, and they'll form a little block and gather together and meet and maybe receive some mentoring or learn from each other somehow. Those things are happening. There's a lot of lounges where students can have space to pray together, to be prayed for, to express themselves through art. So I think it's very exciting. The afternoons are huge opportunities for students to interact in a variety of different ways.
Alex, with the Christian Post, what is your biggest hope that students would come away with from the conference?
Was that addressed to me or to Tom?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go first, and then I think all three of us could actually respond to that. Our primary core mission is to the university world and the campus. So there's kind of two parts to this. We want the students to take what they learn here back and apply it to their campuses, because after all, they are salt and light there, and not just to wait until they graduate. And that's part of a total package of conferencing, training, books, everything we do. Second, of course, is a part of our vision statement is to see people who will go out after they graduate and impact the world for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. The thing I like about Urbana is that the sense of the calling is the submission to the Lord, and how that's expressed can be in politics, can be in law, it can be in medicine, it can be in traditional missions. But we're very much in the sense that the first and primary call here is to one of submission and obedience. So what we'll hope you'll see this week will be students responding to the Holy Spirit in a way where they say, Lord, take me, use me, I'm yours, wherever that is. And in the example I gave earlier about the medical couple, to me that's a huge success story. But so is the person who's working on Wall Street in New York City, who's applying biblical principles. And I spoke on this guy last name, it was John Kim, I think about. So all of those are wonderful success stories, if I can say, in terms of what we hope for at Urbana. So, Tom,
I mean, I think for me, one of the biggest outcomes that I'm keying in on is the decisions that will be made by students. On the evening of the 31st, they'll be invited to make commitments and commitments to global missions and cross-cultural missions. So short-term commitments, mid-term commitments, and long-term. And we classify long-term as over 2 years of service. So to me, that's probably one of the most exciting and most important outcomes that we're hoping for.
Thank you.
And for me, just to add to the others, I think Alec touched on it, the transformation that happens internally for a student in terms of their relationship with God so will affect all of these decisions. You know, we want them to be able to go home and be able to live out the commitments that they're going to make on the night that Tom calls, you know, for the commitment decisions. But we realize that my hope is there's a significant internal transformation, that God loves them and God is big and is with them, and that is motivating them to make those decisions.
Bill Bray, Assist News. The how would you say that today's student is different from past Urbanus? So everyone can answer that.
Want to go first? Then Jerry, I'll go last.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll take it.
My sense with today's students, certainly from a Canadian perspective, and I think it's transitions in North America, is there is such a desire to experience who God is, know the reality of God. I think in our day it might have been an apologetic would be the first place to start, which is still important, but the sense of really knowing God and experiencing God, that I really know who he is. And I think you see some of the actions that have, you know, experiential labs, those kinds of things that put a student's faith in touch with the reality and action. I think that's a significant shift for our students.
I think there are some differences in this generation that make it easier and more difficult for them to engage in global missions. So one of the areas that are different is this really is the first truly globals generation. That's been a term, I think, that's being used, the globals generation. Study abroad is increasing dramatically. 2 out of 3 of them have passports already as students. They're well-traveled. You know, social media networks allow them to have relationships across the globe already. So they're truly global, and that's a big benefit, actually, that already enables them to cross cultures quite easily and perhaps make a commitment to global missions easily. On the other hand, this generation is hugely in debt, right? As we know, debt is a huge challenge for this generation, unlike previous generations. And that will prevent them or significantly delay them from going into certain types of missions opportunities. We also have seen another challenge for this generation. I think Dave Kinneman and Barna research calls it moral therapeutic deism, kind of a belief in that, or their experience of Christianity that's very shallow. And I think Christianity Today recently had an article about the juvenilization of the American church. So we see a generation of students that you know, they just want to be happy and feel good about oneself in life. And so you have that kind of that side of this generation as well, that maybe it might take a little bit longer. I have significant hope in this generation, but I think in terms of their development and transformation internally, it may take a little bit longer.
Yeah, I'll just add a few things on the same model that Tom just said about positives and negatives. And not speaking about our Urbana students, of course, but the broader generation. Positively, it's a justice generation. It's a generation that is global. They like their parents, which is something that many of us care for, unlike my generation that didn't particularly care for our parents. And they worship. Worship is big. Community is big. Those are all really good. On the liability side of the ledger, you have a sort of a broader form of syncretism, and this gets to this issue of sort of blurring of ideas and faith in a way that I can sort of design my own faith, and that's difficult. Sexual purity, holiness issues, of course, that's nothing new, but it certainly, I think, become even more pronounced in terms of sexual identity and behavior and practice. I think those are some of the things we deal with. And biblical illiteracy has been documented. Even the kids growing up in the church come out without the sort of ground. I'm speaking in broad generalities here, but I think that would be also the negative side of the ledger.
Gary McIntyre, Faith Radio Network. You talked about this being the global generation. I think it's also a generation that's been immersed in technology since they were born.
Right.
I know there are exhibitors like TWR who spread the gospel using technology. Is that more of a focus this year pertaining to the students?
I can't speak for all the exhibitors, but I can tell you that one of the things that on our end, what we're doing as Urbana is intentionally training the exhibitors, helping them understand how to utilize technology in engaging the student generation. So we've had, I think, two different webinars that Urbana's put on for exhibitors for that same, recognizing that same context that the student generation, they want to use technology, they know the technology is available, but sometimes our exhibitors and their organizations just need that extra encouragement and reminder and even briefing, really briefing them on. So we've had social media training for exhibitors even. So I think those are some things we're trying to do on our end. I do think we're seeing more and more missions organizations leverage technology, trying to utilize it. I think we also have a ways to go and a lot to learn. I think you're seeing more of the newer mission organizations able to more quickly adapt and utilize those technologies you're talking about. Aiden, I don't know if you want to speak to virtual ministry, right? Okay.
So which technologies are we talking about?
Well, I think some of the ones, I'm more talking about social media platforms and platforms of communication. So I think for this Urbana, we're encouraging exhibitors to have Twitter hashtags and utilize Twitter. We're encouraging them to learn how to use Urbana and Facebook, use Facebook at Urbana in a certain way to connect with students. We're encouraging exhibitors to understand kind of what motivates this generation, how do they like to interact. So some of it is non-technology based, but it's more training that we're doing to help them understand this generation. I've seen, I'm close to a few of the exhibitors I know. I mean, they're embracing satellite technology more than ever before. So what's amazing is, I'll give you an example of Bible translation, for example. So someone in the living room in Denver, Colorado, can literally be helping a group of local leaders in some village in, let's say, Papua New Guinea, translate the Bible. So you have someone in Denver in their living room helping translate a Bible in Papua New Guinea because of satellite technology, or you know, they're Skype. They're Skyping each other, and the local translators are there doing some stuff. The translator in Denver, and they're literally doing Bible translation together via Skype. So it's pretty amazing some of the things that you can accomplish now.